What a difference a year can make. Last March, states were beginning to implement shutdowns that were expected to last weeks. But weeks turned into months, and months added up to a full year. As spring arrives this year, despite what's described as an unrelenting coronavirus,
it's a hopeful time for us.
This week on 880 In-Depth, we get an update on the COVID-19 fight with New Jersey's Health Commissioner, Judith Persichelli.
My thought is that in some way we will be always fighting the challenge of this coronavirus, similar to the flu.
In the year that COVID has been with us, Judith Persichelli has been a daily force leading New Jersey's battle against the virus. Amazing when you consider she was barely 6 months on the job as the state's acting commissioner of health when she was confirmed by the full Senate January 9th of 2020. You know what the next year brought. According to data from the COVID Tracking Project, New Jersey has recorded more than 800,000 cases of coronavirus with an estimated 23,000 deaths. But the state has also logged an amazing 10 million COVID tests the past year. And as you will soon hear, New Jersey is stepping up on its vaccinations. But it has not been easy. Trust me, as someone who has sat at the laptop and played the game of trying to land an appointment in New Jersey, we all wish there was a better way. Our Peter Haskell got on the phone with New Jersey Health Commissioner Judith Persichelli this week, and the conversation started with vaccines.
Commissioner, when we spoke in December, you were looking at a long, dark winter. Now we're heading into spring. How do things look now?
Well, things look a lot more hopeful, Peter, because we have a pretty strong vaccine rollout plan. We hope by the end of this month, the first week in April, to get more vaccine. We're administering vaccine every dose we get from the federal government. We make sure within 24 hours that someone receives that dose. So it's a hopeful time for us. Of course, this virus is unrelenting. And as most viruses go, it's mutating, and those mutations are being followed very closely. But we do believe that our hope for the future is in getting as many people vaccinated as possible.
Back in December, you were just starting to give out your first Pfizer vaccines. 3 million doses have been administered. Do you think this has gone as well as it could have?
Well, we first have to embrace the fact that putting out two vaccines within the same year of a novel coronavirus that has called a pandemic is an extraordinary scientific achievement. Bearing that in mind, the supply chain is not as strong as perhaps we would like it to be. But it's because they were testing as they were going along, and like I said, within a year, putting out two vaccines is something I don't think we've ever seen in our lifetime. So could the rollout have been better? We in New Jersey had some bumps along the way, particularly with our registration system and our call center. But as we speak today, we have administered over 3.2 million doses of the vaccine to individuals in New Jersey, and over a million of those individuals have completed what I call their vaccine journey and are fully vaccinated. Now remember, our goal is 70% of the adult eligible population should be vaccinated. That in New Jersey is about 4.7 million people. So we have over 1 million people completed on their vaccine journey. We have another 2 million that when they get their second dose, they will be completed. So probably within the next month, we may have as many as 3 million people along the way to immunization.
Some people have had a lot of trouble trying to find shots. When do you expect this supply-demand equation to reach equilibrium?
That has been our biggest challenge. The supply in no way meets the demand in New Jersey and nationally. We're hoping by May, sometime in May, that we will get enough supply to meet the demand that we have. We're seeing with the new administration that our weekly allocation, and our allocation comes directly from the federal government, we are seeing it increase slightly. So when we first started, our first week in December 14th, we got 76,000 doses. On the week of March 15th, this week, we've gotten 400,000 doses. So the growth since the beginning of the year has been significant. Of course, that's 400,000 doses in a two-dose regimen. That's probably 200,000 people. I have 3 million people registered saying they're ready to get the shot, and I can only really start 200,000 people on their vaccine journey this week.
There are officials in a lot of places who, as you understand, are saying we need more. And specifically in Hudson County, they say it's a dense environment there. They need a larger supply. Are they right?
Well, Hudson County is interesting because they're doing a really, really good job at getting people vaccinated in that county. Hudson County, as we sit here today, they have administered 158,000, almost 159,000 doses. But as you state, it is one of the most densest counties, highly populated counties in New Jersey. So we have to make sure that when we get the doses, in as we try to allocate them equitably throughout the whole state, that Hudson County gets doses based on our small supply, gets an adequate allocation of doses to continue the good work that they're doing. But they have a long way to go because of their COVID burden and their population.
So how do you do that? How do you see to it that they get the supply that they need based on their density?
They will not get the full supply that they need until we get increasing supply.
Are we going to need a new or different vaccine next fall or winter?
I don't think anyone knows that yet. We do know that there may be a possibility of a booster, similar to what we do with flu every year. We also know that many of the manufacturers are not only developing and producing the vaccines that came to market, from Pfizer and Moderna at the end of December and for J&J a couple weeks ago, Janssen J&J. What we do know is they're already looking at mutations and making sure that their vaccine, if needed, can be modified to protect us against the variants that we're seeing in the nation and in the state and internationally as well. So, my thought is that in some way we will be always fighting the challenge of this coronavirus, similar to the flu.
Do you expect, if people do need a booster or a different shot, the rollout is going to be smoother, better, or easier?
I think that once we have adequate vaccine, I think the rollout in New Jersey, at least, because we have almost 1,000, maybe more, individual practices and clinics and different what we call points of dispensing ready to go. Once we have adequate vaccine, I believe we will vaccinate people fairly easily. As far as boosters are concerned, we track right now the percentage of people that show up for their second shot, because the Pfizer vaccine requires a second shot. within 21 days, and the Moderna vaccine requires a second shot in 28 days. And we are around 90-92%, which is pretty high. The nation, the last report I saw, on average is about 88%. So we're over 90%. We're following up on everyone to make sure that they understand the value of that second, what we're calling the booster shot. So I think the people in New Jersey have been really anxious to get vaccinated and compliant.
And while Judith Persichelli is hopeful about vaccine rollout improvements, she does admit concern about the wild card of COVID variants.
We are doing sampling on specimens every day in our public health lab. And right now we have identified what we call 216 CDC cases of variants of concern. The CDC separates variants into a number of different groups: variants of concern, variants of interest, and variants of high consequence. So we have 216 cases of variants of concern. 206 of them are the B117 variant, otherwise known as the UK variant, which is the most the variant that people are seeing mostly nationally and internationally. I think it's now in 82 or 83 countries. We have two reports of the P1 variant, which is the Brazilian variant. We have one report of the B1.351 variant, which is the South African variant. We have six reports of the B1.427 variant, which is the California variant. And California also has another variant, and we have one report of that other variant, which is B1.229. So we do have a total of 216 variants of concern. Additionally, we have 65 reports of a variant of interest. That is the New York variant, B1.526, 65 reports of that, and one report of what they call a P2 Brazilian variant. So the variants are here. They are with us. Variants of concern right now in New Jersey, I would say the one of highest concern is the UK variant. It seems to be, from studying what's going on in the UK, highly transmissible. We are still studying its impact on hospitalizations and severe disease. So more to come on that, but we are watching it very closely.
Cases are ticking up in New Jersey, and the state has one of the highest per capita rates in the country. Why is that?
We're one of the more densely populated states, and we're a state that has a lot of travel through, a lot of connection to strong urban hubs like New York City and Philadelphia. And I would say that, similar to the big surge last April, we're following the trajectory of the Northeast, which in New York is pretty strong as well. So our cases are not going down like the rest of the country. So we're looking at that very critically, and we are doing wide-scale testing. We do more testing per capita than many, many states. We are now doing and continue to do 45 to 50,000 PCR molecular tests a day. And additionally, we have started to report our antigen testing, and our antigen testing is increasing in the thousands every day. And we report all of that. We're not sure how, you know, if every state is reporting both antigen and PCR, but we do. But we have seen our cases increase as a result, and we also, which is more concerning because there's no way to under or over count hospitalizations, we are also seeing our hospitalizations tick up a bit, and then plateauing, but they're not going down. And that's what we were hoping, that we would see at this point our hospitalizations go down. 2 weeks ago, they hit their lowest level, around 1,800 in our 71 hospitals, and today we're reporting about 1,950. And it's been that way for a couple of days, or I should say the whole week. So we're keeping a close eye on the hospitalizations. Hospitalizations are one of the lagging indicators of a positive case, with death being a significant lagging indicator. We have seen our deaths settle down a bit, which is a good thing. They're still in double digits, but it's between 10 and 20 a day, where we were much higher. So we're looking at what we call severe disease hospitalizations and deaths, and we look at that daily.
The cases are going up. The hospitalizations aren't getting better, and yet indoor dining and other businesses are going to 50% capacity. Is that a good idea?
I think as the warmer weather, we have to learn every day from this virus, and I think as the warmer weather is upon us, as we saw last year, the virus doesn't really like warm weather, so it kind of, we like to say, it goes underground. But we're hoping that with the warmer weather, at the same time that we're increasing in inside dining, that the outside dining will be even more active. That's what we learned last year, that once people got used to eating outside and the setups were refined by the establishments, people chose to eat outside. So we're hoping that there'll be a balance, and that if people keep to the 50% capacity and socially distance and make sure that they wear their masks in between the courses or eating, they understand that you put food in your mouth, put your mask on, chew, it can work. We do know, even with the variants, that the public health precautions, what we call the non-pharmaceutical interventions of washing your hands and masking and physically distancing, are effective in preventing the transmission of this virus. Look at what has happened with flu in New Jersey this year. Flu is at the lowest level that we've had in years because it's a respiratory illness, as is COVID-19. And when you mask up and you watch your sneezing and your coughing, you can decrease the transmission of the virus.
Schools are another big topic for places like New Jersey, where cases multiplied in the general population because of density. But as we spoke to Judy Persichelli, the CDC, as expected, announced new guidelines that could help efforts to get kids back into the classrooms. The CDC now says students can cut the distance from 6 feet to 3 feet in the classroom as long as they still wear masks.
We will be looking at that, CDC. Our understanding is CDC is reviewing the studies that have been done on that right now. We do know, again, from experience, I keep reminding everyone that I talk to that this is a novel coronavirus, never before seen in humans. We're learning a lot about it every single day that we have to deal with it. What we learned with school in-person schooling is that the transmission in our schools was quite low. And that was the transmission, the epidemiologically based transmission that actually happened in the schools. Quite low. Schools are pretty safe. So then we get to the 3 feet versus the 6 feet. And there are some studies that have been done that suggest that the 3 feet distancing did not increase transmission significantly, and I know that CDC is looking at that. We do rely on CDC as the subject matter experts, and I do expect something in that direction will be coming out very soon.
We hear a lot of stories about kids home from school experiencing stress and anxiety. Are you concerned about some kind of mental health crisis going forward?
I'm concerned for the kids totally. I think the socialization of school, the interaction, the ability to be with their friends is so important. And I'm concerned for the difficulties many, many children have with remote learning, and that they may be losing a year of education because of it. And yes, put that all together, the stress not only on the child but on the family unit is remarkable, and they need to get back. They definitely need to get back for lots of reasons, stress generally, but more importantly, you know, schools are the watchdogs, the coaches, the teachers. They can see when a child is concerned or upset. They can see if a child is under some type of stress at home that's a reportable incident. We know that reports of child abuse have gone down with remote learning because, you know, the vigilance that an objective observer, like, again, a coach or a teacher, that vigilance isn't there, and how important that is to keeping our children safe. So there's lots of reasons to get back. And, yes, the mental health issues are real. They need to be attended to. The stress on the family system, the ability to maintain nutrition for children that otherwise would not have a balanced meal, and the ability for us to have that objective vigilance of our children is so important. For lots of reasons, let's get back to school.
One last thing. We hear a lot about these COVID long haulers, and the estimates are 10% to 25% have these post-COVID symptoms. Is New Jersey equipped to handle all these people who might be sick for 3, 6, 9, 12 months?
Yeah, we've heard a lot, and there's been a lot of a study of what you call the long haulers. This is an unusual virus. It invades a lot of systems within the body systems, and it lingers, and it is causing some long haul symptoms. Our experience with this virus is now a full year. We're going to need more time to study this to see what that the long-term effects of that will be. It does not sound positive for those that are long haulers at this point, but again, it's only been a year, so more study is required. But this is an unrelenting, nasty virus.
Commissioner, what is your final message from us today in terms of New Jerseyans? What do you tell them about looking to spring and summer and vaccines and all these other things?
I can only assure the people of New Jersey, when we get adequate vaccine, our goal is that everyone in New Jersey will be within a 15-minute walk or a 20 to 30-minute drive to a vaccine site and will be able to get vaccinated. I urge everyone, learn the facts, become more aware of vaccines if you have some hesitancy, reach out to the experts, call our hotline if you have some questions you want answered. And at the end of the day, I can assure you, when we get vaccine, we will vaccinate absolutely everyone in New Jersey who wants to be vaccinated, so that by the summer, we have the protection that we need to enjoy each other, our families, our loved ones, our communities, the way we used to. That's our goal. We will meet it if we get the vaccine. Two things. We need to get the vaccine, and we need people to line up to get the shot.
Commissioner, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Peter, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And for the people of New Jersey, I can assure you, this governor and the Department of Health are ready vaccinate you, and we get the vaccines.
Our thanks to Peter Haskell and New Jersey Health Commissioner Judith Persichelli. As someone who has gotten dose number one of the vaccine in New Jersey earlier this month, I can tell you once you get that appointment, the infrastructure in place to make the process smooth and safe is something to be proud of. I would recommend you get the vaccine. 880 In-Depth is a production of WCBS News Radio 880. Our executive producers are Peter Haskell and myself, Tim Scheldt. Subscribe so you don't miss a week and pass it on to friends. Find us wherever you get your podcast. Just search 880 In-Depth. As always, be safe.